So it's short and sweet, but I wonder what you wanted for Christmas and whether you've actually got it. I wonder what you wanted for Christmas, whether you've actually got it. I think this family have got what they wanted. Farshid is the man, his wife Leela, Rosanna and Bardia. There's been a picture of them on that notice board for at least 3, maybe 4 years. And we've mentioned them regularly at a Friday night youth club or a bodybuilders youth event to get kids to pray for them. And this week, after spending 4 years in prison, Farshid has been released. I think it was 4 years. I think he had a 5-year sentence, so he got out a year early. He's been in Tehran. He was converted from a Muslim background aged 17. And because he became a leader in that country, he was arrested and imprisoned. So many people are becoming Christians in Iran and Iraq and that part of the world that there's a problem. How do you stop it? Used to be out and out persecution of Christians, but that hasn't worked. So one of the new strategies is, okay, let people become followers of Jesus, but we arrest all the leaders. And if there's no one to teach them and pastor them and help them and train them, it will die. But it doesn't work like that. The more they persecute, the faster the church grows. And although certain parts of the world, Christianity is trying to be eliminated, in other parts it is growing well under persecution. But what an answer to prayer for that man and for those who have been praying. And I guess there is nothing that encourages us to pray more than to know God answers prayer. And that prayer's been answered. But prayer sometimes involves waiting. Waiting. And often God answers our prayers in ways we don't expect. The story told of a famous golfer who was invited by the king of Saudi Arabia to go and play a golf tournament. Well, he was a professional golfer. If the king says come, why not? So he went and he played in this tournament, and the king of Saudi said to him afterwards, thank you for coming. How can I show my gratitude? What would you like? And being modest, he said, well, actually, I don't really want anything. No, you've been my guest. You've come and you've been an excellent host to people who've come along. What would you like? He said, well, I do collect golf clubs. Perhaps, you know, if you see something unusual, you could let me have one. And the king said, no problem. Well, weeks went by, nothing happened. And the man kept thinking to himself, I wonder what I'll get. Will I get a gold-plated golf club? A little putter made out of solid gold. Will it be a famous golf club of a former professional that he's got online and now I've got it? Used to belong to one of the greats some years gone by. Well, eventually there was a knock on the door. And when he opened the door, there was a man there and it was signed for this and he signed for it. But it was only kind of a large A4 letter. So he tore the paper open and he opened it up. And as he pulled it out, it was the deed to a multi-million pound golf club. You see, the king had answered his response or his request, but not the way he wanted. He would have settled for a little putter, but the king gave him a luxurious golfing complex, a golf club. And we are coming to a king when we pray, aren't we? And great petitions with us bring, but God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want. And I just thought for our little thoughts together, nothing heavy this morning. In Mary's prayer, there are 5 things every Christian should pray for themselves or for other people. 5 things we could pray. And I thought it might be good if we get our youngsters to come and discover what those 5 things are. So I've got a few crackers that need pulling. Do I have a volunteer, young or old? Do I have a volunteer to come and pull the cracker? That young man there, right, you come. Yep. Martin, you can choose anyone you like to pull it with, but the condition is I want the hat. I want the hat, okay? So go and find someone to pull it with. I'd like the hat. If you could do it today, that would help. Go on, look, Scotter's on the front there. He won't mind as long as he gets the toy. Whoa, well done, Martin. Hey, Martin, look, don't look so sad. Help yourself to one of those. Go and sit down. Thank you, mate. I'll get the rubbish. Thank you. Scotty, you can keep the toy. I've got the hat. Okay, what have we got in here? First quality. I didn't plan on wearing this, but there's no other stooge here. Joy. Joy. And in that prayer, she says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Joy. joy. You know, we had Sam with us a few weeks ago, and one of the things I said to him again and again and again during his 6 week stint was this: look, enjoy it. Enjoy it. And one of the things you have to say to people when they're in Christian ministry is this: don't let people take away your joy. Because there's lots of pressures in ministry and in life. And if the joy goes, hey, it becomes a chore. And Christian service, Christian ministry at whatever level should be something we enjoy. Robert Louis Stevenson, the great author, said on one occasion, to miss the joy is to miss everything. To miss the joy is to miss everything. How many people will open their presents and get the dearest, the most expensive, the latest, and not have the joy to go with it? If you miss the joy, you miss everything. Someone once said, Christians seem to have a religion that makes them miserable. They're like people with a headache. They don't want to get rid of their heads, but it hurts to keep them. Isn't that a great quote? And yet Jesus said, hey, I've told you these things that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Where does joy come from? It is centered in relationships. And the greatest relationship God wants us to have is with his son, Jesus Christ. In his book, The Book of Psalms, author George Sweeting tells the story of two missionaries, John and Elaine Beckman. God called them to work amongst the Khoi Indians of South Mexico. Reaching the tribe of Indians was not easy. It took mule rides. It took traveling along rivers in dugout canoes. But they spent 25 years of their life working amongst the Khoi Indians of southern Mexico. Today, the Khoi church is thriving. You'll find 12,000 Christians make up the Khoi Christian community. They have their own New Testament. When the missionaries first got to the Khoi people, they realized something unique about them. They never sang. They never sang. It just wasn't in their culture. Nobody ever sang. And when people started to becoming Christians, they gave them a nickname. They didn't call them Christians. They called them the singers. The singers. Because one of the very first thing that happened when the Khoi Indians came to faith is they wanted to sing praise to God. And it marked them out as unique in their culture. Why? Because now they had a song to sing. And that song, of course, was Jesus Christ. And Mary says, my soul rejoices in God my Saviour. And if there's one thing you can pray for this year for me, for anyone else in your family, in your circumstances, pray that the joy isn't taken away, isn't squashed, that the joy remains. Because without joy, we miss everything. And true joy is found in Jesus Christ. Have I got another volunteer for a cracker? Oh, you've done it. Oh, come on, Abby. You can choose whichever cracker you want. And who would you want to pull it with? Go and find someone to pull it with. Just want the hat. Oh, get out of it. That's yours. Thank you. You can have a whole cracker as well if you want. Oh, we've got a joke. What do you call a short-sighted dinosaur? Do you think he saw us? Oh, that's... Oh, we've got a hat. On this one, we've got thankfulness. Thankfulness. Because again, in the story, Mary prayed this: the mighty one has done great things for me. The mighty one has done great things for me. She is thankful that God has heard her prayer. Not just on that occasion, but in the past. She looks back and she says, God has done great things for me on so many occasions. I don't know if anyone here had a book for Christmas. What you had, Matt? What you had? Yeah, brilliant. And did it come with the crayons, or do you have to buy those yourself? I'm only teasing. That one's going over, it's hands down now. Brilliant. Good, now let me know with those big words and we'll see what we can do. I'm sure it's a good one. Hey, a book at Christmas time, fantastic. One of my favourite books is Robinson Crusoe. And it's a story I listen to. I'm lazy when it comes to stories. I put them all on audio these days. You can buy audio books and I listen to them and I devour them again and again and again. And Robinson Crusoe is one of my favourite books by, of course, Daniel Defoe. And it's full of good Christian content. Full of good Christian content. And on one occasion, when he is shipwrecked, he sits down and he sets himself a challenge. He says to himself, what am I going to do? I'm abandoned on an island. My ship has sunk. So he decides to draw up, he didn't have a piece of paper, but in the sand, I guess, he marks out two lists. And he's going to write all the things that are negative and all the things that are positive. For example, on one side of the list, he writes down, I don't have any clothes. But on the positive side, he says, but it's warm here and I don't need any. On the negative side, he says, all my provisions were lost. And then on the positive side, he writes, but there's plenty of fresh food and water on the island. And so he just goes down the list. For every negative, he finds a positive. For every negative, he finds a positive. Isn't it easy in life just to dwell on the negatives? What we ain't got. And then we soon forget all that we have got. And we've got in abundance. I love the poem that says, I'm thankful for the taxes I pay, because it means I'm employed. For the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means I have enough to eat. My shadow who watches me at work, because it means I'm out in the sunshine. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I'm capable of walking. My heating bill, because it means I'm warm. All the complaining I hear about our government, because it means we live in a country of freedom of speech. The lady behind me in church who sings off key, because it means I can hear. The piles of laundry and ironing, because it means my loved ones are nearby. The alarm that goes off early in the morning hours, because it means I'm alive. Weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day, because it means I have been productive. Hey, if you find yourself moaning, and I do, try and balance it out with all the good things that you enjoy in life. Well, we've got three crackers here, so we need to get moving. Have I got another volunteer, young or old? Colin, there you go. If you turn round, I'm sure Joe is keen to do it. Thank you, Colin. Okay, you sit down. Would you like a cracker there, Joe?
Oh, thank you.
Would you like one for later, Colin?
All right.
There you go. Take it. Help yourself. Okay. If you're looking for the diamond rings, etc., you ain't going to get them in Macro's Finest, all right? Okay, we've got the word fear. Fear. Nice Christmas word, isn't it? Fear. But it's there in verse 50. Mary prayed, his mercy extends to those who fear him. His mercy extends to those who fear him. I guess none of us like fear, do we? It's like the little boy who's lying in bed and there's thunder and lightning and he cries out, Mum, Mum, come and help me, come and help me. So his mum goes up and says, what's the matter? She says, it's thunder, it's lightning, I'm scared. And she said, look, don't worry, darling. It's not going to hurt you. You're in this house. It's safe. You need to go to sleep. I'll leave the light on, but I need to go. And the little boy grabbed hold of her hand and said, why? And she said, well, I need to be with Daddy. And the little boy said, why the big sissy? Fear is often something that is negative, isn't it? But actually, fear in the Bible, it literally means respect, reverence for the Lord. Not to be terrified of him in one sense, but to come reverently, respectfully. And the Bible is full of promises. In fact, in one book alone, the book of Proverbs, 18 times, it talks about the fear of the Lord, and when we reverence God, there is a blessing. So it's conditional. If you want the blessing, get the right attitude to God. And if you have the wrong attitude to God, you miss the blessing. For example, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We were joking earlier on, me and Malcolm, about the fact that we're not the brightest, and we look at our kids and grandkids, as in Malcolm's case, and they're going to college and doing this, and we're saying that's not our calling. But actually, we can still be wise. We can still be wise. Because real wisdom comes on not the qualifications you have. But Jesus said, wise people listen to his words and put them into practice. Whereas foolish people hear them, maybe agree with them, but ignore them. It is the application of truth that sets a person free. Hey, the fear of the Lord motivates people to holiness. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. The fear of the Lord, hey, brings a sense of security. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and their children, it'll be a refuge. Someone says the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you don't fear God, you fear everything. And the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. I love that. It's not a well that you have to go and draw on. It's a fountain. It's continually flowing. And God has life and life in its fullness for us to experience. But if we don't come reverently and humbly, we never experience it. Well, oh, got two left. And I've got a minute on each one. So can we do a double whammy here? Two people, who's coming out? Daniel and John. Right, you come then, John. John, go and find someone for me. Daniel, who are you going to pull it with? Do you want to pull it with me or someone else? Oh, good lad. Pull. Oh, hold it tight. Oh, a bit harder. Yes. Oh, you grab that end and I'll grab that end. And you let me have the hat and you can have what's inside. Thank you. And if you want another one, you can take one out of the box, all right? Thank you. Oh, goodness to finish with. Goodness to finish with.
You haven't got two heads.
What do you mean, two face? No, two heads. I got family there. Christmas is a time of family. We could talk about that. And Mary talks about from generation to generation. And generation, but we'll finish with the other one. Goodness. He has filled the hungry with what? Good things. Good things. I'm glad we worship a good God. I love Psalm 23, where the psalmist says, surely, when you think of what God is like, surely goodness and mercy follow me. I don't chase them. We live in a world where everyone's after a good time. Why are people out in Southampton every night? Because they want a good time. Why do we do some of the things we do? Because we want a good time. And in some ways, that's not wrong, but it's never enough, is it? But the psalmist says, I don't chase good times. Hey, because the Lord is my shepherd, goodness and mercy follow me. When? All the days of my life. If you think Christianity takes out of a person's life, you've missed the point entirely. We have a good God who is good to us in so many ways. As far as the past is concerned, he forgives it. He forgives it. And a Christian is confident of the fact that their sins are forgiven, not because they deserved it, not one of us did, but by the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. Hey, he's forgiven the past. He's good to us in the present because he indwells us with his Holy Spirit. So you don't have to make the same mistakes again and again. You can learn from your mistakes. And he's good to us about the future because Jesus said, where I am, there you will be also. And as the psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And when this life is over, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. What a God. And this is a lovely song, Mary Prayers. Five qualities, five gifts to pray for myself, for your loved ones, for anyone really. What were they? Pray for joy. Pray for thankfulness. Pray for fear. Pray for family. Pray for goodness. Let's pray.